That is the beginning of our scripture. There's more, and I will bring that up in just a few moments as we go along here. We just ask God to bless my heart with what he has given me to speak about, and ask him to bless your heart in the hearing. My question is, do you like your name? Do you like your name? Did you ever want to change your name? Really? I see some heads shaking. Yes. Oh, I always liked my name. My mom told me that I wasn't named after anyone in our family or anyone famous, and not named Beverly for any particular reason, that she and my dad just liked the name Beverly. So that's how I got my name. It's fun looking up the meanings of our names. My name and yours, Beverly, comes from it's an old English origin, and the name Beverly means, are you ready? Dweller in a beaver meadow. Right? Pop that. Yep. I have three friends in my life named Beverly. I have Beverly Beam. I have a Beverly that lives in New Alexandria, and a friend, dear friend Beverly, that has passed and ascended and is in the presence of God right now. She and I were at a seminar years ago. We had name tags on, and she leaned over and said, "Let's exchange name tags and confuse everybody." So she was quite the character, and she loved Jesus. So I miss her. But I haven't really encountered anyone for quite a while with my name. So the Bible has interesting things to say about names. Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, "A good name is more desirable than great riches, like silver and gold." Great riches. A good name is more desirable. Isaiah 49:16 says, "God has written God has written our names on his hand." On his hand. I like that. I like thinking that my name is written on the hand of God. Revelation 2:17 says, "To the one who is victorious, God will give a white stone with a new name written on it." A white stone with a new name written on it. Our new name, known only by him. The theologians are kind of at odds as to exactly what that means. I don't really care about the mystery. I sort of like some things to be a mystery about God, but I like to know that I'm going to be given a white stone with my new name written on it. In the Bible, God gives people new names frequently. It's always at a very critical, crucial point in their lives. Abram became Abraham, father of nations. Sarai became Sarah. Simon became Peter. Saul became Paul. That was a pretty dramatic name change there. So God has given people new names. I have been reading a book entitled Awake by an author named Anjuli, A-N-J-U-L-I, Pascal. She says no one knows how to pronounce her name, and she's not sure she knows how to pronounce it correctly, but this does not bother her. And I wanted to share this with you because she writes that our names are important and have a unique meaning in the world that we live in, because each of us has a unique meaning and purpose. So the name Beverly is not unique to me, but it is unique in the respect that I am unique, and God has called me to a purpose and a meaning for my life. It is mine, not anyone else's. You each have a purpose and a meaning. And Julie does an interesting thing. She mentions Revelations 2:17 about the white stone with our new name on it, and talks about God giving us new names. And she says that new names can identify our past and give us meaning to move forward in the future. Okay, that was an interesting concept to me as I read this. So this is what she wrote. Our new names identify our past and give us meaning to move forward. Okay. Now, how does that work? Here are her examples. If you overcame an addiction, your new name might be the one God set free. If you were abandoned physically or emotionally by a parent, your new name might be the one God remembers. If you spent your whole life unseen and God finds you, your new name might be the one God pursues. If you survived a devastating divorce, your new name might be the one God eagerly wants. If God made a way for you out of an impossible situation, your new name might be the one God finds worthy. If God used your average abilities, looks, and limited education to help others, your new name might be the one God adores. And if God brought you out of darkness, your new name might be the one God shines his light on. Our Wednesday night Bible study, Women's Wednesday night Bible study, tried this, our study group. We tried it. It was fun. It started out as fun, but then it became somewhat intense and very touching. Very illuminating. I asked everyone to think what their new name might be. You know, what, as you look at your journey with God, your story, where you've been, where you're going, what might your new name be? Some of the answers were, I am the one God carried. I am the one the maker of stars called friend. There's a story behind each of these. I am the one who was given all in Jesus. There's a story behind these names. There's more. The one I chose for myself is my new name might be the one God sings joy over. There's a reason for that. The one God sings joy over. There were beautiful stories and beautiful reasons that these names were chosen. It was a story of our journey with God. Okay. So, in the Gospel of John, we find John five times referring to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. John would say, I am the one, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Five times. And here they are. The first one, John 13:23, was at the Last Supper. Now, these are taken one verse at a time out of context, but just so you know, this was the Last Supper. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. John, writing about himself. John 19:26, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, Woman, here is your son. That was the Last Supper. This was at the cross, John 19:26, when Jesus saw his mother there. And the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, Woman, here is your son. That was at the cross. This one is at the empty tomb, John 22. So she, that was Mary Magdalene, came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. And here is John 21:7, face-to-face contact with Jesus. "Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, 'It is the Lord,' he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water." And the last one, John 21:20, also a face-to-face encounter. "Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, 'Lord, who is going to betray you?'" We thought at first that this might maybe seem a bit arrogant for John to describe himself as, "I am the disciple Jesus loved." But we didn't think it had that inflection in his voice or his heart. "Yeah, I'm the disciple Jesus loves. Yep, that's me." Mm-mm. But for John to say this, first of all, we have to realize that Jesus loved all of his disciples and us, and this is confirmed throughout the Gospels and John. John 15:9 is just one example. Jesus says, "Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you." All of us. All of us. So John is not claiming this privilege as his alone and robbing everyone else. You know, "You can't be the one Jesus loved because that was me." No. John discovered the greatest reality in his life. John discovered that Jesus loved him. And so John said, "I am loved. I am loved by Jesus. That's who I am. I am loved by Jesus. All I am and all I do is because Jesus loves me." It defined everything in his life. Everything. And I want to share again Aunt Julie's beautiful words. She says, "John walked into every room, every relationship, every conflict, and every celebration, attentive to his meaning. John, the one Jesus loved." It was his reality and his identity. From then on, all he was and all he did, defined by the love of Jesus for him. John defined himself as all Christians should. All of us, we're each someone that Jesus loves, each of us. So we can define ourselves that way. We can give ourselves that name. I am the one Jesus loves, so are you. And in the world that we live in today, in the dark times when the news is unbearable and heartbreaking, have you noticed that the character of God gets distorted? Character of God takes a bit of a beating. And we need to not let that happen. We need not to distort God's character in the world, because we are the ones who know, we know God loves us. We know God is good. We know God has given each of us unique gifts to help others. We know this. So as Christians, we are all called to the same purpose. We are all called to love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are all called to that purpose. But then we have each been gifted uniquely by God with a way of doing this. Loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. We each have been gifted with a unique way of doing that. One act of loving kindness at a time, right where we are. Right here. Again, Anne Julie's words. What if we took the meaning, oh, she's talking about our new name, the concept of our new name. Who are we? What is God? What is the unique purpose to which God has called each of us? What if we took our meaning into our everyday world with us? What if it defines us when we wake up, inspires us as we walk a long day of many tasks, and what determines how we welcome others into our lives? What if? That's what defined John. Every morning when he woke up, his inspiration as he took on hard tasks, how he welcomed others, how he shared the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, all defined by him knowing that Jesus loved him. So, what would your new name be? As I say, it started out to be fun, but then it took on a bit more of an intense kind of feeling, and it became quite special, I think. I think you should try it. Think about where God has brought you. We noticed that a lot of our new names came out of very critical, crucial, challenging, darker times in our lives. Okay. As we walked on with God. As I say, one person's new name was, I am the one he carried. I am the one God carried. I chose, I am the one God sings joy with. And I've been asking myself every day, thinking about Anne Julie's book and about the words of Jesus, I've been asking myself, what if I did this, what difference would it make in how my life looks every day? If every morning when I wake up, I know God is singing over me, singing for me. What if every time I'm in a conflict and things are getting ugly, what if my heart knows, but God sings for me? He has sings joy for me. What if in all my celebrations, all the good things, I remember God is singing joy over me? Me. Just because this was Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study doesn't mean it's not for the guys, too. I'm telling you. God speaks courage and strength and boldness and responsibility. What would your new name be? Look at where you've come from God, where you've been. How you've come with God. Where are you headed? And what if all of this, what if it flavored and fragranced our days? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 that we are salt and light. We're the salt of the earth. That means we're a seasoning. That means we're supposed to leave a pleasant taste, not bitter or bland. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 5 that we're the light of the world and we're supposed to shine. We're not supposed to hide it. We're supposed to be pushing back the darkness. Push back the darkness. And Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 said, we're the fragrance of Christ in the world. We're meant to leave a pleasing aroma in the places that we've been, not a stink behind us. We're not supposed to be leaving a stink. We're supposed to be leaving a pleasing aroma. So what if we did flavor and fragrance the world we live in with Jesus? So You are all, we are all, the one Jesus loves. But look with God, look at your story. He's still writing it. He's still writing our story. Those of us who are older have a different perspective than Jude, who's just graduated from high school and is looking forward to different things. But God's still writing all of our stories. Think what your new name would be. Think about it. And my last question is, I would like for you to raise your hand if you are the one Jesus loves. Are you? The one Jesus loves? Yes, you are. That's who you are. And God is still writing your story. This is the benediction that Justin left for us, but I'd like to share this also with you from Romans chapter 8. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing separates us from the love of God. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen and amen.